So over the few days, Sarah G has been explaining on Dana, which is one of the three of Punya Kriya Vatu. And it is said that if one can do Dana systematically, his or her Dana will be high and noble. So if the person donates with good aim and objective, it will be a systematic dana, and such dana can open the path of Dhamma, and it can also open the path of charana, moral conduct. When the person keeps on following this path of moral conduct, the person can easily fulfill sila, morality. So by fulfilling sila, he/she will be uplifted, he/she will be lovable and uplifted. So dana, offering things, could be done by any person. Dana does not have anything to do with moral conduct. But sila, keeping precepts, keeping morality, is concerning with moral conduct. And it is very basic, very fundamental, and very essential. So offering dana is something that should be done. By offering things to a needy person, it is a way of supporting, helping, so that the person will get what he, she needs. So by this way, the person who gets what he, she needs will feel happy and glad. So based on what one has, with one's belongings, one can make others happy and well by offering these material things. Sila, observing morality, one should control oneself so that one is not hurting or harming others. So in this way, by practicing sila, morality, one is said to be protecting others from being hurt. So it is a way of culture. And this observance of sila is also something that should be done. By observing sila, morality, one's body and mind will become pure, clean, blameless, tamed, gentle, peaceful, lovable. That's why practicing sila is something that should be done, and it is called vatu. So by refraining from things that should be refrained, one's body and speech will be pure, clean, and one will get benefits. So one will get benefits automatically by observing precepts, by observing morality, refraining from things that should be refrained. And by refraining from things that should be refrained, one is overcoming the internal enmity. By overcoming internal enmity, the person will not meet frightening danger such as attanuvarabhaya. The person will not meet danger such as self-criticism or criticized by others. In this way, the person will be free from fear and danger, and his or her body speech will be pure and clean. So these are the benefits. So by practicing sila, morality, one will gain bhava-sampatti, one will gain. One will have material gains in life. One will be well off, well-to-do in life. By preventing others from being hurt, one automatically controls oneself. So by now, you have already understood quite a lot about sila, morality. So you have already developed the basic culture, and you have already developed the basic culture. So today, Siaraji will explain on types of sila and how the quality of these sila varies. So in Visuddhimagga, sila is categorized into three. So observing sila, one has to control one's body and speech. So one has to control one's body and speech. So one should be fulfilling sila so that one's sila will be the best. So it is the human nature that people like everything the best. Sila has three classes. These three classes are low class sila, the middle class sila, and high class sila. So it can be classified into these three: low class, middle class, and high class sila. So based on adipada, based on accomplishment or cause of accomplishment, this sila can be classified into these three. So whatever one is doing, whatever wholesome deed one is doing, one should do it with a strong will and a strong wish. So it doesn't mean that one has to be greedy, but one has to have a strong will to perform this wholesome deed. And one's mind should be very firm. One should be courageous. One should be brave or courageous to perform this wholesome deed. One should be courageous to perform things that should be performed, and one should be courageous to refrain from bad things. And one should also have prudence and wisdom. So it is very important. So when this wholesomeness of observing morality is done by strong will, a very firm mind, courage, and prudence, wisdom, then these are the basis of accomplishment. So when these factors are strong, then this will be a high class morality. One will be fulfilling a high class morality. So if these states are weak, then the person is fulfilling a low class morality. And when these states are medium or moderate, then the person is fulfilling middle class morality. And when these states are strongest, then the person is fulfilling high class morality. So based on one's chanda, citta, viriya, and vimansa, based on one's will, one's firm mind, one's courage, and one's knowledge. His or her morality can be classified. So if one's chanda, citta, viriya, vimansa is weak, the person is fulfilling low-class morality. If these states are moderate, he, she is fulfilling middle-class morality. And if the person's chanda, citta, viriya, vimansa is strong, he, she is fulfilling high-class morality. So when practicing sila, morality, one's mind is pure and clean. So one should be practicing morality with a strong will. So the person must not do it in a very cold manner, haphazardly, without any wisdom or knowledge. If the person is doing that way, then his or her sila will be called hina sila, or a low-class sila. So if the person has strong will, a firm mind, courage, and knowledge in a moderate way, his or her sila will be majjhima sila, a middle-class sila. And if the person has a very strong will, a very strong firm mind, a very strong courage, and very strong wisdom, his or her sila will be panita sila, high class sila. So based on these 80 pada, based of accomplishment, one's sila can be classified. So in order to have panita sila, in order to fulfill high class sila, one needs to fulfill with strong will, firm mind, courage, and knowledge. So one sila could be classified also based on one's intention, aim, and objective. So if the person is practicing sila in order to have fame, and if the person is thinking, if I observe morality, if I practice sila, I will have many friends. So if the person fulfills sila with such aim and objective, then his or her sila will be called hina sila, a low-class morality, low-class sila. If the person observes morality, expecting the benefits of sila, then his or her sila can be called majjhima sila, middle-class sila. So the benefit of sila is that one will overcome the internal enmity and one will be free from danger. One's body and speech will be pure and clean. So these are the benefits of sila. Practicing sila in order to gain these benefits, with expectation to gain these benefits, his or her sila will be called majjhima sila. And the third one, the person knows that practicing sila, one should control one's body and speech. It is something that should be done. So by understanding thus, one practices sila in order to purify one's body and mind. So such sila is called panita sila, high class sila. So in order to classify one's sila morality, one needs to find out whether he, she is practicing sila in order to gain fame or his or her main objective is to gain benefits of sila, or if the person observes sila to control one's body and speech, and also if the person understands that observing sila is something that should be done by wise and noble person. So if this is so, his or her sila will be high class sila. So this sila can also be classified whether one takes pride in himself, herself, whether one have conceit in his or her sila, whether one compares oneself with others. So if one takes so much pride and conceit in his or her sila that only I can fulfill sila, only I am good in morality. So in this way, if this person holds high esteem of himself, herself, and also if he, she looks down on others, that others do not observe morality like him or her, then this person's sila is said to be hina sila, a low-class morality. So if the person has pride and conceit on his observance of sila, looking down on others, his sila is mixed or mingled with defilements, akusala. So his or her sila is called hina sila. And the person's morality, if he, she observes morality without having defilements interfering his sila, it is called majjhima sila. So if the person observes morality without taking pride and conceit, without looking down or comparing with others, his or her sila is called majjhima sila, a middle class sila. So the kind of sila that is totally free from defilements is called panita sila. And the yogis who are here, you have this majjhima sila, middle class sila. If you do not take pride, if you do not have conceit on your morality, it is called majjhima sila. So if one observes sila with the aim to be well in life, with the aim and objective to be well-to-do in life, to be filled with material things. So if one is expecting such personal gains with craving, then it is called hina sila, this low-class sila. So if the person is expecting that by observing morality, one's life will be high, one's standard of living will be high by observing sila, then his or her sila is called hina sila, low-class sila. And if the person observes sila in order to uplift one life, in order to free from the samsara round of existences, his or her sila is called majjhima sila. And the yogis here, when you are taking precepts, when you say idam me silam magga phala ñānasa paccayo hotu, meaning that may my sila will be the cause or support in order to gain path and fruition knowledge. So your sila is called majjhima sila because it is, this sila is observed in order to free oneself from the round of existences. So The Panita Sila, the high class Sila, is the one when one observes morality, when one observes morality in order to free all the beings from the samsara. It is called Panita Sila. One practices this Panita Sila in order to free every being out of the samsara as fulfilling perfection. So, in observing Sila, one should cherish it and one should observe Sila so that one will not be losing the benefits of Sila. One should have patience and sacrifice in observing Sila in order to bring benefit for others. So, in order to fulfill Sila as fulfilling parami or perfection, one should understand what this parami means. So, whenever one performs kusala, wholesome deeds, one should not be expecting personal gain. One should not be expecting personal gain as a result of observing, performing wholesome deed. One should not be expecting personal gain, which has no guarantee. But one should only aim for the welfare and benefit of others. If one expects for oneself, one should only expect the kind of happiness that has a guarantee. One should expect Nibbana, which is free from all suffering. So this is what one should aim for when doing wholesome deed. One should aim for Nibbana. One should not be wishing for the minor kind of happiness, which has no guarantee. One should only aim for genuine happiness. One should only aim for Nibbana. Only then, his or her wholesome deed will be parami. His or her wholesome deed will be in the form of fulfilling perfection. So, whenever one performs wholesome deed, one should have good aim and objective. One should do it for the benefit of others. So, if the person is able to perform wholesome deed with good aim and objective for the benefit of others, then the person is considered or regarded as Parama, high and noble person. In order to be regarded a high or noble person, the person should perform wholesome deed with good aim and objective. Seeing the person's good aim and objective in performing wholesome deed, others regard him, consider him or her as a high and noble person. So it is his or her own deed, his or her own good deed with good aim and objective that is making the person to be called Parama, high and noble person. That's why his or her good deed with good aim and objective is called Parami, because it is the cause for others to regard him as Parama. Persons who do not have knowledge, persons who have bad, who do not have good intentions, they only want to perform wholesome deed only if it will be beneficial for himself, herself. So such people, they perform wholesome deeds expecting their personal gain without aiming for the benefit of others. So such persons, they lack patience, forgiveness, sacrifice. They only look for themselves. They only have self-interest. They only are interested in personal gain. And they are interested in fame. So such people do not have good intention when performing wholesome deeds. They only expect personal gain and fame as a result of wholesome deed. So his or her wholesome deed cannot be called parami because the person is doing it without good intention, only expecting personal gain and fame. So the word parami, he, she does not deserve the word parami. His or her deed is not called parami. So parami is the deed of a person who performs wholesome deeds with patience, forgiveness, sacrifice, compassion, consideration towards others. So parami is the deed of such high and noble person who perform wholesome deed with good aim and objective, having patience, forgiveness, sacrifice, compassion towards others without expecting any personal gain or fame. When performing dana, one should do it in order to purify oneself, and one should perform dana wanting the benefit and welfare of others, wanting others to be well and happy. One should perform dana with metta, and one should perform dana having patience, forgiveness, sacrifice on others. So when performing dana, one should do it with genuine metta and karuna, genuine loving kindness and compassion. One should be considerate. One should be considerate that others do not want to suffer physically and mentally. So just as one do not want to suffer physically and mentally, others will be the same. So having consideration and compassion towards others, one observe morality so that others will not be harmed. So in this way, one's aim and objective is not to harm and hurt others. One aims for one's liberation, to be free from suffering. It is called parami sila. So such kind of sila is high and noble, and it is called panita sila. It is a high class morality. So yogis who are here, if you are observing morality precept in order to be free from sufferings, your sila will be called panita sila. If you are having this good aim and objective, then you should rejoice in your sila. Whenever you contemplate on your sila, it will be satisfying. So the one who performs dana, performing dana with good aim and objective, this person can easily go on to practice morality. So that's why Buddha gave discourse on sila after giving discourse on dana. So after giving talk on dana, Buddha continued to talk on sila. And what the text, what the text explain about is that dana can easily be done by many. So dana has to do with many, and it is easily done by many. Performing dana, one can also observe morality. So performing dana is also a good method to be done, and it also supports to observe morality. So that's why the discourse on dana comes before the discourse on sila. If the person can perform dana with good aim and objective, he, she is free from attachment. So the person is also free from selfishness and also remove extreme form of lobha, dosa, and so on. So that's why it is easier for such person to observe morality so that his or her morality will be firm. So the person who is donating, the donor, if the donor is purified in his or her morality, and the one who accepts the donation is also purified in morality, then they are supporting each other. So the donor supports the person who receives, the person who receives who has good morality. In this way, the donor is supporting. And the one who receives the offering, his or her pure sila will also support the donor so that his or her dana will be more effective and beneficial. Observing sila is to withdraw from misconduct. One observing sila, one withdraws from misconduct. So dana is taught so that the beings understand what should be done, because dana is something that should be done. And sila is taught so that the people will know what should not be done. Because sila, one should refrain from these misconducts. So by teaching sila, people will know what should not be done. Another way, dana is taught because as a result of dana, there will be bhoga sampatti. One will be fulfilled with material things as a result of performing dana. And the result of sila is bhava sampatti. One will have good existence as a result of sila. So 1 hour is up. Saraji will explain that by performing dana, one can gain material things as a result. One can be well-to-do with material things as a result of dana. And by practicing sila, there will be bhava sampatti. One will get good assistances as a result of sila. And by these merits of dana sila, what results could be gained? And Saraji will explain how long or whether long-lasting these results will be. And these results of dana and sila, are they something that one should depend on or rely on? Saraji will continue to explain next day. sadhu, sadhu.